selling lies and buying time, killing people that's in line, lower class and social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they war, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, from rain, they burn, the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God will give. Buying time, killing people next in line, lower classes, social slide, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see their shit, force a bear, fuck them back, that's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn, the kids, no one leaves, gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here in UCY.TV. My apologies. And I'm your host for the next hour. Today's the 23rd of March, 2017. And I was at the courthouse today, again, over this charge of obstruction against Michael Schmidt and four other gentlemen. And this is getting more ridiculous by the day. This trial started way back on March the 6th, and today's the 23rd, and it was scheduled as a five-day trial for a basically a misdemeanor that's funny. Thanks a lot. This is in the chat from Baconator. You can rock the boat, but please don't fart in it. I'm trying to fish here. Yeah, that put a pretty good smile on my face. But so it's the 23rd of March. The trial started for a five-day trial starting the 6th of March, now the 23rd of March. And we were over there today, and apparently it's going on hold after today again. We left before it was over a little bit today. The gentleman I was traveling with has a hip replacement, and he's in a hell of a pile of pain right now. So we had to bail about, I don't know what time we got out of there, after 3 o'clock, I guess. And, so now they're talking late April, maybe early May, that they will continue with this trial. Yesterday, there's some really good stuff going on here. Yesterday, one of the gentlemen who had spent 4 years with Michael and a lady called Montana Jones, when the Ministry of Agriculture or Natural Resources, I can't remember which one, ordered her heritage sheep murdered, I guess you'd call it, because of a disease they said one of the sheep may have, which was scabies or scabies or whatever they call it. And the only way they could find out was if they killed the sheep and did a brain test. And so that dragged on for 4 years. She said, well, I got an idea. I don't want any of my sheep killed because there's nothing wrong with them. But if you have to take one and put it down and do the test. And they said, no, we have to put them all down because we have to touch them individually. So somebody moved the sheep. This is how great the so-called government is. They put an order in that she should get a backhoe and dig a hole. So when they come in and slaughtered her sheep, they had somewhere to bury them. Well, in the meantime, somebody came into the farm, loaded the sheep, and moved them. And so Michael Schmidt had nothing to do with this. They charged him. They charged Michael for everything because they want to nail his ass to the cross. 23 years of trying, they haven't done it yet. And Robert Pennell, who works out at the farm and lives out there, they went after him and Montana Jones and a couple other people. That went in almost 4 years, and it was finally thrown out for being too long. And then they raided Michael's farm in October of 2015. And this is where, and they came in and with the order and a cube van and loaded up the milk and the cheese and all the rest of the stuff and went to leave the farm. Unfortunately, the Farm News put out a report that Michael's farm was being raided, and all kinds of people showed up at the farm and wouldn't let the ministry out of the farm, off the farm property with the cube van, because they just simply said, you ain't stealing our food, plain and simple. You ain't going anywhere with that van until it's emptied. And so they had a bit of a standoff there. There was no physical violence of any kind. They stole Michael's computers and his paperwork and all that stuff like they usually do. And so this is what this trial is about. But more importantly than that, I have met some extraordinarily interesting people. Today I met a gentleman who was in his late 80s who was sitting outside the courtroom because there was a big delay getting it going today. It didn't get started. It was supposed to start at 9:30, then 10:30, then 11 o'clock, and 11. It was getting on 12 by the time we finally got into the courtroom. And there's a gentleman sitting out there who looked completely out of place because these are farmers and they dress normally, casual. And there's a gentleman sitting there holding a cane, and it's a handmade cane. It's kind of a cool cane. And dressed immaculately in this really nice suit, dark suit, and sitting there. And I'm looking at the guy, and he's got to be at least mid to late 80s. And he's sitting there, and I thought, this guy's really kind of, like, he's completely out of place here. So I went over to talk to him. And that was extraordinarily interesting. I don't know if the listeners know, and I didn't look, I looked into the guy, years and years and years ago, you know, when we're going backwards, try to figure out where this got going, and then got to come forwards. But I ran into a guy, I looked into the Jesuits for a bit, long, long time ago. And there was a guy by the name of Alberto Rivera who apparently, supposedly, was a Jesuit at one time and a Catholic priest or something who decided it was time to out these clowns. And there's controversy whether or not this guy's story is true or not. I haven't looked into it enough to decide one way or the other, but I'm talking to this old gentleman today. And he asked me if I ever heard of Rivera. And I go, yeah. And he said, well, I knew him personally for 15 years. I'm thinking, who is this guy? And so it turned out that he is an Orangeman, or was an Orangeman. I don't think the Orangeman thing society's running anymore. And I mentioned to him, I said, you know, my uncle was an Orangeman, and he's still alive. He's 89. And he says, this really threw me because he says, like, around Shawville. And I'm looking at this guy. I'm going, who the hell are you? Because Shawville, Quebec, is basically where my parents come from. And I said, no, my uncle didn't live in Shawville. He lived like a half an hour up the road in Campbell's Bay. So we got talking, and he this guy is sharp as a freaking tack, and he has a wealth of knowledge that's extremely usable. And I said, "You're kind of a odd duck because I tear one off the Christians every now and again as the most deceived, screwed up bunch of people ever walked the face of the earth, and especially today." Because today the Christians are sponsoring Islam into the country, and you go, well, that's whacked, that's completely whacked. But they were all deceived by the church, and so we had a hell of a good chat, and then we all went out for lunch, a whole bunch of us, and had some very interesting conversations throughout that. Farmer George showed up today. He had some special. OPP he was talking to, went into the room he was in, and I saw, who are these people? I don't recognize these people. And they're really dressed down, like in dirty jeans and stuff, and the guy was not unshaven, and that, and who are these people? So I just thought they were some farmers or something. So I went into the room and started talking to George for a bit, and he says, well, listen, we got to do this later because I got to get this done with these people. Who, I said, who are these people? And they said, we're OPP. And I said, well, you don't look like you're OPP. You certainly would fool me. And so they were saying that they were special investigators into misdeeds of their people, and which is Ontario Provincial Police, if you're stateside. So they got their stuff worked out. So it was a very, very interesting day today. So I got this old Don, the old guy. I got his phone number and where he's at, and he traveled quite a distance to come up there today. But I asked Michael Schmidt, the milk farmer, and a few other guys, who is this guy? Where the hell did he come from? And they're going, oh, this guy's the salt of the earth, man. And we've known him for years, and this guy's on the button, and he is. And I said, you actually get this stuff? Oh yeah, and it's time we fix it, right? And this brings me back to the idea. I'm sick and tired of people. I've always been sick and tired of that. People saying, oh, well, by the time they get this all put together, I'll be dead and buried. What do I care? Well, those people want to punch in the face, really, How dare you talk like that? And here we have this guy in at least his mid to late 80s. He's got to be over 85. But just, I love these guys. My uncles and that were like that, really old and just sharp as a freaking tack. And they have a wealth of knowledge. And but he agrees with me that we got to get the children. We got to get to the kids. Because the kids are always the answer. And to date, we have allowed the wrong side to access the children. I was talking to the people outside today. I said, we all have memories. Okay. And these are things that we know, and these are things that we understand. But we think that everybody else has the same knowledge, which is untrue. Now, the children have no knowledge. So what they've done with the children is they've completely eradicated from the children's minds because it was never in their minds. So they don't have to brainwash them into believing something else, which they did with most of the Christians through the churches, which were infiltrated by the Jesuits and yada, 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 and the Catholic Church. Turn the Christians against themselves, really, against their own beliefs. So the children, when they go into the school, and I've said this forever, two things got to fall: the Christian faith, and that is the law of the King James Bible. And I'm not talking about churches here, and I'm not talking about religion, okay? Religion, even in the King James Bible, the King James Bible has nothing good to say about religion. It's a way to deceive people. And that's why we have so many different damn churches. The deception is wild. But the kids, they've taken, they took the Lord's Prayer out of the schools. They took the out of the legislatures, out of the councils. They've wiped it clean, basically. And they've done this over two and a half, three generations, just like Brzezinski was talking about. So now the children come to school, and they know nothing. They're open. They're empty slates. And you can write whatever you want into that slate or on that slate or into their mind. And so now you have the schools, you know, wrapping burkas and that around the children's heads and saying, oh, isn't that fun? Let's have some fun today. Well, the kids are all into fun. They don't know what the hell is going on. And then they get the kids, you know, well, why don't we get prayer mats and that? We'll all kneel in a big group and we'll do the prayers. So, you know, the kids have no concept of what's going on. They have no history. And so that leaves them open to be brought into the Islamic faith, which is opposite of what this was built upon, these nations were built upon. So he's absolutely right. We got to get the kids. I've been saying that forever. We have got to get to the children. You know, even Hitler, when I did that talk years ago, I'd run into a piece where, you know, a guy in his mid-50s says to Hitler, I can't come on your side. And he said, you don't matter. You will pass. And once you have passed, the state is all the children will know. And that's exactly what's going on here. And this is demonic as hell. So, you know, hats off to Don. He hit me with his cane a lot, too, though, when he was trying to get my attention, which I thought was kind of cute. I told him when I was leaving, when we had the last recess today, and he was sitting outside the courtroom doors, you know, I told him, I said, you know, it's really been a pleasure meeting. I'll call you. But we got to go because Paul's in a lot of pain. And so he gives me a whack with his cane and tells me to sit down beside him. So I sit down and we're talking. And he said, is that the, when Paul went by up to the top of the stairs, he says, is that the guy's in so much pain? Now, Paul, I think, is 60 years old or something. And this guy's, I'm going to say, late 80s. Yeah, I said, yeah, Paul, we got to go. He's really in a lot of pain. And he says, well, he's awful damn young, right? And that's what kills me. You know, everything's relative, you know. A 60-year-old man to Don is a pup. And that's the whole thing. There's no room for excuses here. This late 80s guy could be as sharp as he is, and as tuned as he is, and as active as he is, then none of the rest of us have an excuse. None of us. So I'm really looking forward to it. I went and bought some glasses, or some plastic, like toast glasses, I guess you would call it. The plan was after court was out today, you know, the glasses with the stem and everything on them. I told Michael, I said, in a time we had raise a glass of milk. And he says, yeah, it's about time to do that. The idea was that when court was dismissed today, we'd all go out and on the front step just outside the door of the court and pour everybody that was there a nice tall cold glass of unpasteurized real milk. But we had to leave early, so got some milk and got some homemade bread from the folks and threw the glasses in the truck and told them, you know, the glasses are there. When you get out, hoist a glass. Hopefully they did that. But the court thing itself is just ludicrous. I mean, it is absolutely freaking ludicrous. I mean, it's so bad. You know, you can't take it seriously, except these guys are, you know, there's always a lot of police when any of us are in court, a lot of police. But now the police, I actually had a cop today. I actually had a cop today hold the front door for me. And I thought, well, thank you very much. He says, you're more than welcome. I says, it's a beautiful day. He says, it is so. The sun was shining today. It was cold, but the sun was shining. And the police are starting to get what we're up to. And I was talking to another gentleman today about the fact Michael was talking to a cop, and the cop is disgusted with what they're doing, and is going to probably end up quitting. And I was talking to another gentleman who knows a lady who is a cop, who only has like something like 3 years left to go to retirement, and she doesn't know how she's going to make it. Like all she wants to do every day is get the hell out of that racket, right? It's like I say, you got to keep talking, teaching, and shining the light. Most of these cops have no clue what law is. They have no clue. They just do as they're told, and they get a good paycheck for it. But it's an amoral system, so you have to teach these people what morals mean and stuff, right from wrong. And we do that at every single opportunity we get. So the court, while it's a pain and it's crooked, it's also a good opportunity to meet some really interesting people and to have discussion and talk to the police and explain a few things to them. There's no anger going on. We just tell them that they're us and we're them, and we got to come together here and beat this thing back. So I don't know what's going to happen after today. I would like to see this thing get wrapped up myself, but it'll be what it is, and we'll go from there, I guess. So it was interesting, I guess, today. Now, somebody sent me something when I was away today. Oh, you know what I'm going to do after the show? I got me a couple of jugs of good, healthy raw out of the cow milk, and picked myself up a bottle of blackstrap molasses, unsulfured, and I had forgotten all about this stuff. I mean, when I was a kid, blackstrap molasses was a staple in the house, and I never knew what it really was. I was a kid, and then by the time I was about eight, the processed food thing really started to kick up, and a lot of these regular staples started to disappear. Anyways, I was rooting around looking at some old raw milk YouTubes, and then I seen this guy mixing in a tablespoon or whatever of blackstrap molasses into his raw milk. And I thought, what the hell is this guy up to? So I thought, well, okay, I'll take a look at blackstrap molasses. And I'm absolutely astounded. No wonder it was in grandma's cupboard. This is like an elixir. It has got so much stuff in it, it's nuts. And it's full of iron, full of potassium, magnesium, manganese, selenium. It's just loaded, crack full of stuff. And the funny part is, again, the world's upside down. That's why we've got to rock the boat. When you think about it, the molasses is the waste product of refined sugar. Now, refined sugar is granulated sugar, which is basically bad for you. There's nothing good in it for you. And this is what they gave us. And it's cheap like borscht. On the other hand, the molasses, the blackstrap molasses anyway, is all the goodness that was in the cane. So instead of us having all the goodness that was in the cane, we got nothing. And the good stuff is the waste product. Now, when I was a kid, you could buy molasses any place, and it was cheap like borscht. It was a waste product. But they used it for cooking and this and that. But it was also used for medical purposes back in the day. When I was reading about it, you know, you put these antisporums and stuff on your cut and all this kind of stuff. Well, apparently molasses does a better job if you put that on your cuts and that. A lot of people suffer from acid reflux now. Apparently that cleans that right up. Anemia, it's gone. They're talking about it's a lot of people that I read about who were cancered said that the blackstrap molasses killed their cancer. And just a host of goodness. And, I saw a story, this lady put a story on one of the sites I was on that she went to the doctor and her iron was really low. So he immediately writes her a prescription, and she doesn't like to take prescriptions, neither do I. And so she went and got some blackstrap molasses and started using that, went back to the doctor in 2 weeks, and her iron levels had really come up. And the doctor was really, really pleased, and he was smiling. He says, man, them pills really work. But she never took the pills, and she never told him she never took the pills. But it was the blackstrap molasses. It's supposed to be good for anxiety, depression, yada, 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 all kinds of things. And when I was talking to Paul today, I said, I've been looking at this blackstrap molasses. I bought some, and we're going to give it a shot. I mean, I'm healthy, but it's all about stable. I mean, everything you put in your face these days is really bad for you. There's very little food left out there. And as Kissinger said, control the food, control the people. And that's what they're doing. And they're killing you with it. So, if there's something you can take, people buy all kinds of off-the-shelf, man-made vitamins, So you're going to go buy some iron, you're going to buy some selenium, you're going to buy some manganese, you're going to buy some magnesium, you're going to buy this and that and that. When this blackstrap molasses basically has everything already in it. So we're going to give that a shot. Another thing that really threw me about this blackstrap molasses is apparently people are saying, or they're claiming, I wouldn't know because I haven't been into it yet, is that it can actually bring your hair color back to its natural color. Like my hair is pretty much gray now. They're saying that after about 6 months, because hair really grows slow, they said after about 6 months, they noticed that the hair coming out of their head, it's not going to turn your hair that's gray already, because it's not going to, it doesn't do that, but that the hair that's coming out of their head is after about 6 months is back to its natural color, and after about a year, that's the hair growth. You got to get rid of the gray's got to grow out of there. Their hair is back to its natural color. So I was telling Paul, like he knows a lot of people that that use oil in that. And, Rick Simpson had on the show a couple of times. And, I told Paul, when you look at the consistency of the blackstrap molasses and the color of it and everything, it looks a hell of a lot like weed oil. It has the same tacky consistency to it, so on and so forth, and it's apparently loaded with all good stuff, just like weed oil. And so he's suffering from pain a lot, and I said apparently, according to what I read, I have to try it out because I have some aches and pains myself, is that if for arthritis and that, apparently it's really good for arthritis and that. So we're gonna start using that with the raw milk, and see what we feel like in a while. I feel good, feel great. I don't take any pills, I don't see any doctors, and I figure I'd like to live to be at least 90, because there's a lot of work to do, and to go try and stay healthy. So that's where we go. And speaking of healthy, I got a piece here sent to me from a friend of mine who is also very active and a hell of a researcher. But she's not just a researcher, she's extremely active as well, going to councils and all this kind of stuff. Well, here she just sent me another one. The first thing that she sent me, this is stuff I picked up since I got home, was that Toronto, now Toronto.com News, has a thing here that says pesticide banned in Europe is found in the Toronto tap water. Now, I better look at this one first because this she just sent me a second ago is where I live, Kincardine, Ontario. And this has to be one of the most Masonic little towns around. And the headline here is Emergency at Kincardine. Let me better go. Emergency, the Kincardine water, what? Water plant prompts call for conservation. Oh, this may be another false flag. An emergency situation at the Kincardine water treatment plant has prompted a municipality call for conservation as the water is now being drawn from here in Kinloss. A notice was issued by the municipality at 4 p.m. Thursday, that's today, stating the areas affected include the town of Kincardine, Huronville, and the pipeline to Inverhuron. These areas are now being fed from Huron Kinloss Lakeshore drinking water systems to ensure that that Huron Kinloss water system can provide enough water for both of us, its users, and ours. We are asking all customers to conserve water as much as possible, states the notice. Please be aware that the water from the Huron Kinloss groundwater wells has elevated levels of naturally occurring sodium and fluoride. Users may also experience a difference in pressure, color, and taste at this time. If you have any questions or concerns, contact the water services office at. There are no details yet about what happened at the water treatment plant or when the Kincardine Water Service will be restored. Comment on this story. Now, Wacarton, Ontario, which is the county seat, which is where the courthouse is, we were at, Wacarton had a very bad problem. When the hell was that? 2010? A long time ago, anyways. Maybe it was older than that. But they had a storm, and apparently the guys that were supposed to look after the water, some reason or another, unspecified, unexplicable, said that the water it was a big storm, and the water got into the town wells from a farm, and made a bunch of people sick. I think one or two died, and but anybody with a half a brain goes, what's the point here, right? And people who can think, it none of the thing, none, it's there's so many, what's the word I'm looking for? There's so many things that happened through that shouldn't have happened, that could have been contained, that weren't contained. It's either a case of absolute and total incompetence, or it was a hit. And it looks like a hit. It looks like a false flag because they want every municipality to upgrade their water systems. Why? After Wacarton, everybody had to upgrade their water systems. Why? Everybody else's water systems were fine. And there was huge amounts of dollars being spent to upgrade systems there wasn't anything wrong with for safety again, that damn word safety. In other words, what they did was they took the opportunity to force the municipalities to upgrade their water systems, putting a ton of debt on the taxpayers, so that when they went to sell off the water systems, there's a French company here running around buying up water systems so that they don't have the expense of upgrading it down the road. So, you know, here is a typical case of a story saying that there's an emergency situation at the Kincardine Water Treatment Plant. Conserve, conserve, conserve. But there are no details about what happened at the water treatment plant. Well, if there's something happened at the water treatment plant, and then it says here, if you have any questions or concerns, contact the water services department. Well, wait a minute. If we have a water problem, then the guys at the water treatment ought to know what the problem is when it occurs, and that news should have been put out. But apparently, as of yet, there are no details about what happened at the water treatment plant. But conserve, and you might be flooded with fluoride and sodium, and your water may taste like garbage at this time. So my advice to everyone in this neck of the woods is don't drink the damn water right now, because this is all coming from outside this country, and it's all being implemented by the CAOs and city managers, who I call Satan's little helpers. Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to look for an update. There's another story she sent me earlier, and that is about the Toronto water. And, you know, like, how incompetent are we? I mean, this is what it gets down to. We don't build anything in our countries. Are we stupid? Are we incompetent? We don't know how to build anything anymore. There was a time when we built damn near everything we required in our countries. Now we build basically nothing. How did we get that incompetent? How is it that we can't run a normal functioning electrical system anymore? How come it is we can't somehow we're having such a hard time with water when we have more water per capita than anywhere on the freaking planet, and we have a problem with water? Okay, let me see what we got going on here in the Toronto. Pesticide banned in Europe, found in Toronto's tap water. Research around atrazine was found in endocrine disrupting properties connected to hermaphrodite frogs, feminized fish, and low sperm counts in humans living in agricultural areas. Sounds like maybe a UN agenda, because what do they not want? They do not want us reproducing. And how do you get people not to reproduce? Turn them into gays, turn them into lesbians, turn them into transgenders, turn Anyways, Toronto may be an hour from the nearest farm, but environmental groups say unsafe levels of top-selling herbicide used on cornfields for the last 50-odd years are turning up in our tap water. Tests commissioned by Environmental Defense and whatever have found atrazine in both Toronto and Montreal drinking water at levels that would flunk European safety standards. It's quite alarming, says Environmental Defense Toxic Manager Mohamed Malis. So... right, we can't get rid of Muslims, right? There's too many of them. We have to build a zoo or a wall. I think there's a guy down south here who wants to build a wall. And we ought to talk to him. Torontonians are probably exposed to atrazine on a daily basis. Research found atrazine manufactured by agrochemical giant Syngenta has found in dark, I can't say the word, just disrupting properties connected to hermaphrodite frogs and feminized fish, as well as low sperm counts and reproductive problems in human beings or humans living in agriculture. The EU banned atrazine in 2003 because of widespread pollution of groundwater from farm runoff. A 2013 lawsuit filed in Ecojustice. Triggered a review by Health Canada of 23 ingredients found in 383 pesticide products banned in other countries, including atrazine. Now, the David Suzuki Foundation is involved in this and in this lawsuit. Now, David Suzuki Foundation, which would never have existed without Maurice Strong, and nobody would have ever heard of David Suzuki without Maurice Strong. David Suzuki would not have been the host of what the hell was that show he did? The hell was that show? That nature show he did. Anyways, Suzuki calls us the Naked Apes, who's a atheist, who wants you dead, as per the UN agenda, is putting up this thing about pesticides product banned in other countries, including atrazine. As part of his assessment, Health Canada tapped groundwater and monitoring data and found the chemical in 20% of 14,455 groundwater samples from Canada and the U.S., but its research says levels detected did not exceed the Canadian drinking water guidelines for atrazine, 5 micrograms per liter. Toronto Public Health spokesman Christine Navarro tells Now that the levels of atrazine in drinking water are well below the maximum acceptable concentration for drinking water, and that the level of exposure in drinking water is very low. Navarro notes that 98% of the 2,500 Canadians aged 3 to 79 tested in the Canadian Health Measures study had levels of atrazine that were below laboratory detection levels, indicating no or very low exposure to the general population. The thing is, the EU threshold for safe water levels of atrazine in drinking water is 50 times lower than Canadian drinking water guidelines allow. And one thing about Canada, it's the same thing with what is it? Is it tritium that comes out of the nuclear plants? And they always say our levels are safe here in the Great Lakes area. Because we have several down on, we got two, I think, down on Lake Ontario, and we have the one up here on Lake Huron. But again, it sounds like the same game. They say, well, our levels are safe according to Canadian health standards, but the levels of tritium allowed in Canada, I think, were something like 1,000 times higher than they were allowed in Europe. So while it may come within the Canadian safety guidelines, when you put our Canadian safety guidelines against that of other nations, it ain't good. Not good at all. Mars Bouchard, associate professor at Harvard, or not Harvard, at University of Montreal School of Public Health, says even at concentrations close to the European standards, several effects of atrazine on amphibians and animals have been demonstrated, including impacts on reproduction and development. Bouchard says some studies also suggest harmful effects on human reproduction and development at concentrations of water similar to those analyzed in Montreal and Toronto tap water supplies. Environmental group says Health Canada's reassessment was far too narrow, limited to groundwater, and failed to consider surface water sources like Ontario and the St. Lawrence River, from which Toronto and Montreal respectively get their drinking water, considering what researchers have already found with endocrine disruptors like atrazine. Malice says that even exposure at very low levels can be harmful. There's no safe level exposure. The only solution is to ban atrazine so it doesn't contaminate our water in the first place. Well, it's been contaminating our water, according to this story, for 50 years, which is about when I noticed a real problem. When I was a kid, 50 years ago, we thought nothing about drinking out of the creeks. We were always outside. We're always in the bush. We're always fishing, swimming, playing ball. We were always outside, and we never thought twice about drinking out of a creek. They were always crystal clear. And then sometime between when I was 10 and 12, we noticed the farmers starting to spray the fields, and all of a sudden our creeks were full of foam and that, and we had to pack water with us. And I found that really disgusting, because these creeks and that, because I was from the Ottawa Valley, so most of the creeks were running through rocks and whatnot. And the water was just crystal freaking clear and cold and good. And then all of a sudden, these farmers started spraying the fields and we couldn't drink the water anymore. That's 50 freaking years ago. And I remember we were going to Sarnia one time when I was in that age range to visit my aunt and uncle. And we stopped somewhere along the lake here, Lake Ontario shoreline, for lunch or whatever. And the amount of foam on Lake Ontario was just nuts. You know, great big balls of foam and dead fish all over the place. That was 50 years ago. So you've been poisoned. People wonder why they're sick all the time, and they wonder why they've got all these cancers and stuff, and so on and so forth. And this is your Health Canada. It's really the WHO, because the WHO controls all the health of all the member state countries, right out of good old Geneva, Switzerland. That's one place, you know, that should have been bombed in the Second World War, should have bombed Switzerland right into the frickin' ground for more reasons than the fact that the WHO is in Geneva. But there was a very good reason Switzerland was never bombed, because that's where the criminals were hanging out. So that's the story in of our water, which is kind of odd that the David Suzuki would be involved in bitching about this, because David Suzuki came straight out and said there's too many people on the planet, got to get rid of them, right? It's man that's destroying the world. And they did all of this on purpose. These are long-term planners. How do you use the environment to control people? Well, first, what you do is you do your best to destroy the environment. And then it's a global problem that only a global solution can deal with. And that's just another part of this. But the fact that, you know, our water is poison, our food is poison, and they keep flying these damn planes around. And we were going over to Washington to the courthouse today, and Paul's looking at the sky, and he said, "Damn, man, they're spraying us again." And I go, "Yeah." I said, "We shot so much of this stuff back in 2008, somewhere in there, that we just quit shooting it. We put up a ton of videos, tried to explain to people what it was way back then, and haven't shot a chemtrail video since, because we shot a ton of it. And what's the point? It's a chemtrail. Well, you know, it doesn't matter how many times we shoot this stuff, it's the same garbage. But, you know, it's a very nefarious situation, because if they're dumping aluminum down here and barium, they're ruining the crop grounds, and aluminum's not good for you, not in your system anyways. And what's to stop these guys at some point, instead of dropping barium and aluminum and whatever else is in these chemtrails, just dropping viruses down, you know? Because what do they want? Well, they want to reduce the population by at least 2/3 minimum. So, you know, they're trying it through the water and reproduction and, Planned Parenthood and all kinds of weird shit, vaccinations, poison food, and so on and so forth. So, you know, I know so many people who are in their 50s and 60s and early 70s, they're pretty well dead. They have no gumption. They have no want to do anything. They just like to watch TV and play lottery tickets and eat their pharmaceuticals. And that's exactly what they want. Not like the gentleman Don I met today, who's in his late to mid 80s, who is just way, way, way sharp. Not like my uncle, who just passed away at 94. Sharp as a freaking tack. Why were these guys sharp? Because they stayed a hell away from the doctors. They watched what they eat. People back where I come from, they won't eat meat out of the store. They say they can smell the poison or the chemicals in it, and they ain't eating it. Most people, on the other hand, who grew up with this poison, they don't have any recollection of what real food even is. They have nothing to base it against. It's the same thing as they're doing with this Christian faith, okay? They take away the good food and they replace it with processed garbage. But the children who come, and we have memories of good food, of what real food was. But a child who never had real food, who never been exposed to real food, thinks this garbage they're eating is normal. Parents stick them in front of the TV set from the time they're little, and they're sitting there being fed these dumbass commercials about high processed sugar is tasty and good for you. And, oh, look, let's go to McDonald's. This is the only basis these children have on food. They actually think this is food. Well, it's not. And all parents should be pissed about what they're doing to the kids. You know, I don't know what it takes. But, you see, this is all so gradual. So gradual. They're waiting for, you know, the last of the old guys like Don to die off. Then the next generation to die off. And by that point in time, they have no memory of anything that should be, because they didn't bring up, they were brought up in an era where everything that was normal has disappeared and has been replaced by abnormal, like poison water, poison food, poison air. So it's not an environmental problem, okay? It's a planned, system. You know, control the food, control the people. Now, Kissinger's still alive. Now, I haven't had time to check it out. If anybody knows, I can find nothing anywhere about where Morris Strong was buried, cremated, whatever the hell they did with him. Or maybe they froze him, who knows. But I can find no recollection where this guy's at. And I don't know where they're going to bury Rockefeller, or if they have already. But, you know, I need to know where these guys are, because I want to make a map. Brought this up years and years and years ago, and it kind of freaked a few people out, and other people got it. But I want to put up a map and mark these nefarious satanic dogs' final resting place on a map, so that it can be the global piss on the grave tour, so that if you're in an area where one of these nefarious dogs is buried, then you can go over and piss on their grave, and then check that off on your piss on their grave map as you do your tour, because that's what needs to be done. We didn't get them when they were alive, so feel free to piss on them now that they're dead, and make a point of it, and make a YouTube about it. You know, hi, I'm wherever I am, and I'm standing over the grave of David Rockefeller, and I'm pissing on him, and put it up on YouTube. This is how we get to these guys. This is a psychological, spiritual war we're in. And we have to make known that we know, and we ain't going to put up with this any longer. So if you know where David Rockefeller is being buried or where he is buried, then let me know, because I'm going to do the map here. I want to see Kissinger on that map. And Prince Philip, who wants to come back when he dies as a virus to cull the human population. Nice people, eh? Nice people. These are the people that are held up to the rest of us as these great statesmen and these very important, intelligent people. Everybody that's got the Order of Canada, I suppose, should be on the piss on their grave tours, because you don't get into the Order of Canada or any of these orders unless you have been a player and involved in the promotion of this New World Order nonsense. Like, I used to really like David Suzuki when I was a kid. The Nature of Things was his show. I love nature. I love being outside. I love everything about nature. Well, this guy's talking about nature. Well, it wasn't until later that I realized, wait a minute, every single one of these shows he does about nature has a undercurrent of everything that's wrong with nature is my fault somehow. And then when I looked into the connection between him and Morris Strong, I went, aha, okay, I'll piss on your grave, Suzuki, when you die. And these Neil Young. You know, when I was a kid, everybody listened to Neil Young, you know. And Neil Young is an absolute player. Absolute player. Got the Order of Canada, you know. The guy, I'll piss on his grave if I find it when he dies. That's what I'd like to do. I'd like to spend my last 5 years of my life traveling the world, pissing on all these graves, putting up on YouTube or whatever is available at the time. Anyways, I'm hopeful. Oh, I know. Sunday, I gotta do this. This Sunday, right here on UCY.TV, I'm going to have Michael Walsh on the show. Had him on the show once or twice before. Very intelligent man. He's in his 70s now or something. Very prolific writer. And we're going to talk about what's going on in Europe compared to what's going on here, compared to what we're hearing in the news here, compared to reality that's going on in Europe. And I expect it'll be a very interesting show this Sunday. So, and then I've got to get Michael Schmidt and on the show. If this was the last day of the trial for a couple of weeks or a month, then I will get Michael on the show and we'll discuss his thoughts and possibly one or two of the other people who were charged along with him, and you know, get their thoughts on how this is going and what needs to change and how we're going to change it and all that kind of good stuff. But we're going to hear music in about 2 seconds flat. So I got to go find out what's wrong with my water here. We've had an emergency, but nobody knows what it is. So be careful if you're in this neck of the woods, the King Carden municipal area, or down in Inverhuron. I would suggest you think twice about drinking the water until we find out exactly what the hell is going on here. Anyways, everybody, that's the show for tonight. Everybody take care. Have a great night. And go get a bottle of blackstrap molasses. Check it out. Till next, I guess, Saturday night, we're out of here. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye. Lower class and social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesarship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they bomb. They shoot, they kill, they master parade. They burn the kids, no one makes cunt. Trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgive. This is Aussie Skateboard.